The first reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 10 to 13, then chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father, I just ask, Lord, that the words that are from you would touch our hearts and minds and draw us closer to Jesus. Whereas, Lord, the words which come from man would fall to the ground like autumn leaves. Amen. As we approach Easter, we start a new series in which we're thinking about the cross. Today we'll be considering the cross as the way to freedom. And I'll be focusing on the two short passages from Paul's letter to the Galatians, which were read to us. We start with a brief background and outline. Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia in about 48 AD, and it's one of his earliest letters to the churches he founded. To say he's very concerned about the false teachers that have come amongst his flock seems an understatement. His language is strong. He wishes they would emasculate themselves completely. He's concerned that they're misrepresenting the gospel of Christ. And this letter is to guide and direct those who are, in effect, young believers. They're quite vulnerable. He's very anxious for them. Just think about how often in our society corrective statements emerge, particularly in the field of politics. Think, as an example, the recent elections, and how the policies coming from campaign headquarters were misinterpreted and many times had to be corrected. As I wrote this, I just thought, how would Paul have coped with social media, where so much information bounces around? Can you imagine the tweet from Paul? But I would like to consider three things. First, what is freedom? Secondly, how the Galatians were being confused, and how is that relevant to us? And thirdly, why the cross is the only way to freedom. So firstly, what is freedom? And before I go on, I wanted to ask you a question. What is your definition of freedom? Think about it for a moment. It's not as easy as it sounds, as you may think at first. I can imagine what any young person may say. Probably freedom is doing exactly what you want without reference or without parental interference. And I sometimes wondered whether our definition of freedom changes over the years. Is the youngest son of the heir to the throne trying to find freedom, I wonder? François Segar, the writer, when interviewed some years ago, and who, like many, was obsessed with freedom, said, "You do what you want to do. You mustn't let others limit what you want to do." She added that you're not free when you're in love. So apart from being in love, I have been free. Doesn't that sound strange? It's a very selfish statement, I think. But this, mind you, is from a woman who, although very gifted, lived a chaotic life. It is said that when the police raided her house, her dog, mind you, her dog, not their dog, led them to her stash of cocaine. God did not make us automatons or robots. He has given us free will. We can choose, and it's a wonderful gift, but it can have immeasurable consequences when we misuse that freedom. Philip Yancey wrote, "God's terrible insistence on human freedom is so absolute that he granted us the power to live as though he did not exist." Do you get that? He granted us the power to live as though he did not exist. He granted us the power to spit in his face, to crucify him. But thinking about freedom, I think freedom is placing the needs of those you love above your own. You're free to make that choice. But I believe we're only truly free when we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll recall from our reading that Paul says in chapter 6 and verse 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." We'll come back to that soon after we think secondly about how the Galatians were being ensnared. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that many of the Jews were offended by the cross because they wanted power. Similarly, the Greeks were offended by the cross because they wanted wisdom. The free gift of eternal life and salvation through Jesus was too much for them. They wanted more. They wanted to say, "We have earned it for ourselves." And that made the cross offensive to them, because it meant God had done it all. They hadn't contributed in any way. They were not hostile to Jesus himself, but they were hostile to Jesus Christ crucified. If you read chapter 2 of Galatians, homework for you to go back this afternoon, read chapter 2 of Galatians, you can see how tensions can arise between Jewish and Gentile Christians. The church in Galatia was infiltrated by Jews who, although they accepted Jesus, found the simplicity of the cross too much. They had been circumcised, and they wanted the Galatian Gentile believers to go through the same ritual, and were bringing and causing confusion by doing so. Let's try and simplify this. The agitators who had infiltrated the church were preaching, "Live according to the law," which means circumcision, because that is part of the law, "to give God a record of righteousness. in order that that may be set, that they may be saved. Paul basically says, no, you've got it wrong. Only believe in Christ. Be accepted by God. Then out of your love for Christ, because of what he's done for you, you follow the law. When we choose to live for Christ, that seems completely natural. And yes, we may go wrong, but remember, forgiveness is only a prayer away. However, we can so easily fall into the trap of thinking the works I do can contribute to my salvation. But no, Paul proclaims in Ephesians, for it is by grace you've been saved, not through faith, and not this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's so wonderful. It is a gift from God. We move on, and thirdly, why the cross is the only way to freedom? I was reflecting on this question, and when I became a Christian in the fullest sense, what spoke to me was acceptance. I recognize that Jesus dying for me on the cross gives me forgiveness and eternal life. But being loved and accepted by God sealed it for me. My parents cared for me, but I was told many times I was a mistake and I was not wanted. Now that has been dealt with, I've worked through it all, but it was part of my life. My experience of God reinforced how much I am loved by him. And in the cross, we see the highest expression of that love. It is God taking steps to save me and to save each one of us. He took steps to send his son to die for each one of us. Use your imagination again. Think what it must have been like for God, our loving Heavenly Father, as he saw his son on the cross, dying for us. And he had to do that because he had to find another way to deal with our wrongdoing. And on the cross, all the consequences of our wrongdoing fell on Jesus. We know those agonizing words from Matthew's Gospel. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think about it. Jesus on the cross, taking the full weight of the penalty of our sin. It's beyond anything we can imagine, I think. The cross is real. The cross happened. It is not myth. It is not legend. It is well tested in history. The cross is what Jesus faced when he chose to die for us. The cross is the loneliest place in the universe. But Jesus on the cross brought us freedom. So I ask you, where do you stand regards the cross as the way to freedom? I hope I have encouraged you to think about it. We move on. The short gospel passage read to us has that lovely invitation from Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How are you doing today? Why not take that step and lay before him all your burdens, all your sadness, and your loneliness, and find the freedom and peace which Jesus can bring through what he did on the cross. For those of us who know him and love him, perhaps just an opportunity to ask him to refresh you and to give you his peace. Dear Lord, in the short time we've had together, you can only just begin to touch how wonderful it is what you did for us. But I pray, Holy Spirit of Jesus, you touch the hearts of each one of us and just illuminate how much you did for us, Lord. And for those who are thirsty and lonely and in need, Lord, you would bring your peace. Because, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.